Father, I want to thank you for what has transpired and how glorious you have revealed yourself to us. We do not want to take it for granted, Lord, especially since I have the active part in this, that I want to be totally given to you so you can use me and continue to reveal yourself so mightily that no one will leave here today unchanged. No one will leave here today depressed. No one will leave here today anxious. No one will leave here today hopeless, because we do have a God in heaven who cares and who will be with us through anything and everything. So use me now, Lord. Bless this portion and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been talking about the I Am's of John. And if you remember correctly, I told you last week we were done. And then I did a funeral this week. And in the funeral, I realized I missed one. And so in the brief amount of time that's remaining, I want to share that with you, the final I Am. And in order to do that, I first want to show you this. This is a picture of Leonid Brezhnev's funeral. Anybody here know who Leonid Brezhnev is or was? He was one of the presidents of the Soviet Union from 1964 to 1982 when he died. And it is reported at his funeral something very significant happened. As Vice President George Bush represented the United States at the funeral of former Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev, Bush was deeply moved by a silent protest carried out by Brezhnev's widow. She stood motionless by the coffin until the second before it was closed. And then just as the soldiers touched the lid, Brezhnev's wife performed an act of great courage and hope. A gesture that must surely rank as one of the most profound acts of civil disobedience ever committed. She reached down and made the sign of the cross on her husband's chest. There in the citadel of secularism, atheistic power, the wife of the man who had run it, all hoped that her husband was wrong. She hoped that there was another life and that that life was best presented by Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary. And that same Jesus might just have mercy on her atheistic husband. With that thought in mind, I invite you to take your Bible with me, if you would, and turn to John the 11th chapter, and let's look at 9 and the final part in the series. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." John the 11th chapter, I invite you all to turn there. Children, I hope you have your Bibles. By the way, I was going to bring a couple Bibles up front with me and forgot to do that in case you don't have them. Because I want you to have a Bible. Let's take a look at this beautiful story in John the 11th chapter. Find the context in which Jesus made this incredible utterance when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And we're going to start, of course, with verse number 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last days. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said to her. Now you all know the context of this story. You all know how Jesus was ministering in Galilee and received a message from a messenger that Lazarus, the man you love, is sick. And Jesus dismissed the messenger by simply stating, this is not unto death, and went back to his ministry. 2 days later, he looked at his disciples and said, we must go to Judea. The disciples were shocked and horrified. They looked at him and said, Lord, why are we going there? They tried to stone you the last time we were there. We cannot go back. But he said, yes, I must go back. And you know, that's where he said Lazarus is sleeping. Oh, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. And he was speaking about Lazarus had died. And so when he showed up, Martha's response, if you had been here, things would have been different. And so Jesus told us in this setting, I am the resurrection and life. And what does Jesus mean by that when he says that? Well, let's take a look at the last part first, life. Who raised Jesus from the dead? I invite you to take your Bibles to get an answer to this as we look at this phrase that Jesus uttered. And let's see who raised Jesus from the dead. Acts, the second chapter. We'll move through three texts rapidly, and they'll all verify the answer to the question, and then I'll quiz you and see if you got it. All right, are you ready? All right, first is 2:24. 2:24 says, well, Peter's preaching, and he said, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put him to death, whom who? God raised up. Okay. Take a look. Whoops. Forget that. Take a look at 2:32. He continues speaking. Verse 32. This Jesus, God has raised up. And finally, just for a sampling, we go to 3:15. And notice Peter here is talking again, and it says, and killed the Prince of Life, whom, what? Okay, now's your test. Ready? See how many of you pass this. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God? Okay, let's see. Okay, you're right. Oh man, you guys are good. But, let's take a look at Romans 8:11. Take your Bibles and go to Romans 8:11. Remember, we're trying to ferret out here what it is exactly Jesus meant when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. So do you have Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 11? But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, according to this text, who raised Jesus from the dead? Oh, you got that, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I gave you two more texts. Write it down with your pencil. We're not going to look them up. But sure enough, you know Ezekiel 37:9-10, the dead bones. Speak to those dead bones, breathe into them. The Holy Spirit brought them all back to life and made them people. Peter says the same thing. Sure enough, who raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Spirit did. But let's do one more thing. Let's go to John 10. John 10. Let's go back to the chapter we already looked at where Jesus said, I am the gate. And then he said, I am the good shepherd. There's something we missed when we were there earlier. John 10, verse 17. Here's what it says. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. This commandment I have received from my Father. Who raised Jesus from the dead? Okay. Wow. So God raised Jesus from the dead. We find out the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And we discover Jesus raised Jesus from the dead. And folks, why are we surprised? For the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes in the Trinity. And even some people look down on this doctrine. There it is for you. The Bible clearly states that the three are equal, doing like things. And so if you say the Father raised, it's the same as if the Spirit raised, same as if Jesus raised. But now we're getting an idea of what I am the resurrection and the life really means. 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His what? Son. This glorious hope of a future is in Jesus. I am not only the resurrection, I am the life. And as the Father participates, the Holy Spirit participates, Jesus participates, and He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so I find it very profound, the story I shared with you, that Leonid Brezhnev's wife, in a latch-dished hope, made the sign of a cross on her atheistic husband in this atheistic secular state, the epitome of atheism, communism, Russia. Even this good news pierced to the very midst of Satan's area. So when Jesus looked at Martha, she may have scratched her head, but we're seeing that Jesus said a whole lot more than she picked up then and there. For Jesus is indeed the resurrection and the life. But let's look at resurrection. How can we be sure? Let's continue our story in John, the 11th chapter. Presuming you're still in John 10, perhaps you just turn a page or two. And I want you to take a look. We'll pick the story back up at verse 38. And let's see exactly how we can be sure, indeed, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. My Bible says, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha gasped, and she said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead how many days? 40 days. And isn't Scripture beautiful? 4 days, excuse me. Oh, what's 36 days? Come on. How beautiful that this is here, folks. See, it's identified for us. What are we talking about? Somebody who's dead 4 days. Not somebody 5 minutes. Not somebody that we could keep secretly awake or alive and then make it look like we had done something miraculous. We're talking about a person who had been dead for 4 days. And Martha thought, this is insanity. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? Friends, I plead with you today that if you would believe, you'll see the glory of God. I do not care what you're facing. Actually, I do care what you're facing. But you know what I mean. It could be the most horrific thing or it could be a little thing. But it doesn't matter because the Bible clearly says, as Jesus at this crucial time when her heart was just broken. Remember, she wasn't just dealing with the loss of her brother. She was dealing with the puzzlement of why didn't Jesus come through for us? Lord, if you had been here. And even the disciples entered in this. When Jesus answered the messenger, they felt, listen to this, that He was cold and indifferent. And Jesus looked at her and said, "Did I not say to you, and am I not saying to you now, Paradise Church family, including the pastor, that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God?" And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and listened to the prayer that He prayed. "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me," past tense. "And I know that You always hear Me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that You sent Me." Well, what is this, Jesus, that You're going to say? And then, when He had said these things, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and the face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." How can we be sure that Jesus is the resurrection and life? My friends, He left absolutely no doubt in our minds by performing this culminating miracle. And let me tell you, if you're struggling with saying, "Yes, but I wasn't there and I don't believe," I want you to know that it says at the very end of this chapter, it was that very act that put the nail in Jesus' coffin. You got that? That very act that He performed convince them all, He's got to go for sure. No more delays. And so I'm thankful that the resurrection and life even pierces into the darkest corners of the Soviet Union at the height of its atheism. And that there was a poor grieving woman standing by a coffin who evidently had an understanding. Her husband and all of those august leaders had no clue about. And she testified that she believed that indeed Jesus is the resurrection and the life. "This is the will of the Father who sent Me, that all He has given Me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last days. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that everyone who sees the Son and believe in Him may have" what? "Everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last days." John 6, 39 and 40. After the battle of Inkerman in the Crimean War, on November 5th, 1855, some soldiers gathering up the dead for burial and the wounded for the hospital came upon the body of a young soldier who had drawn himself, being fatally wounded, to the shade of a tree and was lying with his head upon his arm as if he were sleeping. As they picked him up, they heard something tear. And looking more closely, they saw an open Bible, which he had placed his bloody finger upon. And the congealed blood had carried with the finger a portion of that Bible that tore when they moved him. Scanning the leaf more closely, one of them read aloud the words, "I am the resurrection and the life." And with that text upon the finger of that dead Christian soldier, they buried him. Brothers and sister, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." You can bank on it. You can trust it. You must believe it. You must preach it. And if you're not baptized, you need to commit to it. Because if you do, then you will come to know the peace that passes all understanding. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour, the baptisms of the day, for the choir and their singing, and all that have come to worship you. Now I ask for a blessing to fall. And I ask that you would move upon the hearts and minds of those who need to make a decision. And I pray that you would give us stronger faith to believe the words that Jesus spoke to Martha, to Mary, and to all of them standing around, and then performing the culminating act which proves that all power has been given unto you in heaven and in earth. I want you to write it on our minds. And as we leave here, Lord, may that change us to be more like you and less like us. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.